Okay, we'll try to streamline this a little bit. Let's we'll accept his report and the next two all at one time. You see the field superintendent's report. Everyone have a chance to look through that. Any questions? I understand that the modifications and repairs done on the meters are starting to show improvements for the accountability. Andrew, is that correct?
That's correct. We actually, when we ran the numbers, we had some issues. Part of why the numbers aren't on there on the initial reports, we had some, when we were upgrading the software on the meter reading system, if you recall, we stated a couple months ago that that was necessary. We did that. Everything seemed to be fine. Then when we went and read the meters, there were a couple of technical glitches, but everything ended up getting resolved. But it was after the report got turned in, so that's why there's some data there. But we ran the numbers, and we're actually down to only 3% unaccounted for. And so the combination of the two or three main breaks last month that were discovered and fixed, along with the adjustments to the meters and some of those calibrations, we're sitting very, very good.
Great. Excellent. Okay, now I did notice on here in some areas here when we were talking about, we went back to walk-offs and we had given, started out with a list of about 200 accounts that were past due, and it looks like only came down to about what looks to be, what, about 40 of them that didn't come through?
That sounds about right, correct.
Okay.
And we went
ahead. Okay, anybody have any quick?
I was just going to give a quick heads up. So what we did, because there were such a large number of lock-offs and because we have not done lock-offs in some time, we did go through and call everyone, or at least called the numbers we had on file to let them know what's going on, as well as work through any kind of payment plans. A lot of people did come in and set up payment plans for their past due amounts. So that's a good indication of why we had such a drop off from our initial list down to that just 47-ish. So definitely a good thing.
Great. Anybody have any questions about the field superintendent's report?
Not I.
Any other directors? Okay, if not, we'll move on to the office manager's report. Did everyone have an opportunity to read through there? This is the fiscal year.
Yes.
Anybody have any questions about the office manager's report that haven't been answered?
No.
Okay. If not, do I hear a motion to accept the engineer's report, the field superintendent's report, and the office manager's report at this time?
I so move.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Wait, who's second?
Aye.
Who's second?
Keith.
Okay, thank you.
All right, motion passed. All the reports are accepted. Ken, we're going on to the second quarter investment report. Anybody have any questions for Ken?
So do we have any remaining accounts with AMRCO? I mean, I see it on here.
No, we had closed them. We closed all those out, and we moved them
to text pool.
Yes, correct.
That's right. Okay.
Anyone else have any questions for Ken? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the second quarter investment report as presented?
I so move. It's Tyson.
Thank you, Tyson. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Kelly. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, investment report is passed. Okay, we have been looking at reallocation of some bond monies, and Andrew, I'll let you walk through that with the specifics. We are just talking of the 2017, or are we talking about surplus in 19 also?
Absolutely. So I'll take the reins on this. So our 2017 bond was for a specific set of designated projects. Those have actually all been completed, and partially due to costs turning out to be in our benefit and partially due to the built-in contingency fees that are associated with the bond issue. We have roughly $839,000, a little over that as interest has accrued since the last time I pulled those numbers. But that's in the 2017 bond. And so what we need to do is authorize Hal to work with me to send a letter to the TCEQ stating, hey, we have these excess funds. Here are the other capital improvement projects we want to assign them to. We can't spend that on anything that isn't expressly outlined, and so we've got to do that. The reason that 2019 bond is also included in there, after discussion with Hal, as was earlier mentioned, the outfall line no longer needs to be expanded from the 24 to 48 inch. And since that was a specific line item in the bond that is no longer necessary, Mr. Walker's confident, based on his experience with the TCEQ in these bond situations, that since that item is no longer necessary, we are actually able to reallocate those funds to other projects prior to completion of the wastewater plant expansion. So that's why the 2019 bond is also included in that discussion. So if any of the board have any questions on that, I'm an open book.
And Andrew, it's Tice. I mean, just to confirm, this is what we're trying to execute essentially this week, correct?
Yes. So what we're doing is the board has to authorize Hal to write that letter for the reallocation to TCEQ. He and I are still finalizing a couple of projects within our capital improvement plan to designate. But in the interest of getting this, you know, on someone's desk, giving him the authorization to write that letter for those bond funds, and then we'll designate those projects as we determine their priority.
Yeah, and I mean, if there's not any, I guess, discussion initially on this, it's Tyson. I mean, the thing that I think any help from the board and you know, and San Leon residents too, is that, you know, part of this is we're saying the closing certificate, the undersigned officer of said district hereby certifies as follows. It's the best of my knowledge and belief, except to the extent disclosed in the official statement, no litigation is pending or to the knowledge of the district threatened in any court to restrain or enjoy the issuance or delivery of the bonds or the levy or collection of the taxes pledged or to be pledged to pay the principal of an interest on the bonds or the pledge thereof, or in any way contesting or affecting the validity of the bonds, the bond order, or this bond purchase agreement, or contesting the powers of the district, or contesting the authorization of the bonds or the bond order, or contesting in any way the accuracy, completeness, or fairness of the preliminary official official statement or the official statement. So, you know, obviously very wordy. Steve Don Carlos, I love the way that the attorneys always put these things together, right? But you know, the reality is, I mean, we're aware of some things that are happening right now between Galveston County, the Sheriff's Office, the Attorney General's Office. I'm not sure if there are any other things that, you know, I think the state statutes came up today. I think we've got residents calling Samco Capital, maybe Mr. Jedalina asking for information. Is there anything that we're missing here? I mean, I am not aware of any litigation or pending to the knowledge of the district. So just want to make sure that we discuss this one real quickly. Is anyone aware of anything that we need to discuss?
I'm not aware of any litigation, Tyson, affecting the bonds, the bond issue, or the bond sale. Are the facts in the preliminary official statement? So I think that is accurate.
Perfect. And I agree. I mean, I think we're obviously dealing with a lot more today than ever before. Andrew, you did provide me with the number of open records requests, and I think Mr. Haskett requested about 3,212 pages. Mr. Jelena, 400 or so pages. And again, we're just bringing that because you have a lot of questions on the front end. And I believe that a lot of these phone calls to enforcement agencies are coming from y'all, from what I understand. So I don't have any other questions or comments at this time.
Okay. And Tyson, that that questionnaire and all that you're discussing has more to do with the refunding, but does have some bearing for these reallocations here. The state will be looking at that also. So good point made.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone else have any comment, discussion on the reallocation of the funds on 2017 and 2019 bonds?
No.
Okay. If not, do I hear a motion to approve the reallocation of the funds, of excess funds for 2017 and 2019 on that particular line item for the line extension? Do I hear a motion to approve proceeding with this?
It's Tyson, and I so move.
Thank you, Tyson.
Who was the second, please?
This is Ken. I second.
Okay, Ken. Thank you. All right, we'll do this a different way. Maybe make it a little cleaner. Is anyone opposed to this?
No.
Okay. No. Motion passed. Okay, we're going to move forward to the award of the contract for the grant administration RFP, and we had three responses, and Andrew, you probably have those before you. So we had one from Taylor Associates and Flexos and Luna, I think is the other one.
Yes, so we had from Plexos, from Ardura, and from Trailer and Associates were the three that we received. We did reach out to additional firms, several of which responded back declining, and several of which just didn't respond.
Okay. Directors, have y'all had an opportunity to look through the booklets that came in from each of these organizations?
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion or any recommendation from anyone about any particular one?
How about, since Andrew's more familiar with it, what are some of his thoughts, initial thoughts?
So when I reviewed each of the packets, they're all similar in nature, obviously, because they all deal with the same kind of firm. They all express a deep breadth of understanding and experience. So realistically, I don't see a bad option in front of us. There is a little bit of a gambit because we're asking, based on the amount that we receive from the grant, there's a tiered structure of cost. And so, you know, we're not sure how much we'll receive. And so we realistically don't know necessarily explicitly what the cost will be at the end of the day. That being said, the costs are very similar across the firms up to about the 50 million mark. Beyond that, there is some differences. The least expensive is Plexus. You can see that the costs differ between the others. Trailer, having the experience and knowledge that they do, it's a little bit higher. And Ardera is sort of that middle road. All things considered, again, I don't see a bad option in the group. These are all firms that are well established, know what they're doing, and have a lot of experience under their belt managing these funds, procuring and managing the funds. So, and that, we do have.
Look like to me, they
are, I was just going to make note, we do have representatives from Plexus and Trailer on the line. If y'all have any questions, I can bring them into the discussion.
I guess it'd be interesting to know. I know that I like how Ardera has worked with Galveston County, City of Galveston, League City, so local, they understand the area, I guess. And the others may have, it just didn't jump out to me. Do any of them have extensive experience with mud type districts, water districts, whatever you want to call it? Do they have experience with those kinds of things?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll bring them in one at a time so we don't get too much overlap. Ms. Robertson with Plexus, I guess the question is, you know, is y'all's experience mainly with city level things, or do y'all have experience with utility districts on that lower level?
Most of our experience, can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Most of our experience is at the state level, and we do have some local level experience. I'm not sure if you all are aware, we're currently working with the City of Galveston on their CDBG MIT projects for Texas GLO. And in terms of CDBG, not a deep knowledge of the utility districts in Texas.
Thank you. And Mark Trailer here with Trailer and Associates. I've gone ahead and unmuted your line, if you can speak to that question.
Yes, thank you very much. The majority of the work we have done over the past 47 years has been with municipalities and counties. We have worked with some municipal utility districts. With that being said, we did work with the City of Galveston on a disaster grant in which we did, one of the projects we did under that was with the San Leon, the motor control center that was installed there in the water tower. We administered that project.
Yep, that's right.
Awesome, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Andrew, did Nick Foster make it on the call?
He did not. He expressed that he might be on the road and was gonna do his best to jump in, but wasn't able to dial in ultimately.
I'll just say, since he's not on the call, that I had quite a bit of experience with Nick Foster during his tenure at County of Galveston, Galveston County, and over the past years in the administration of some grants and things that we did through those guys. Obviously, this one is much different. Nick's a good guy. He works real hard. So they have quite a bit of experience, much like the others. He has... seems to be on his portfolio or his profile, seems to be some municipalities or some MUDs in there. So I guess it's
Nick Foster's with Ardera.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I could have said that. Yeah, he's known him for a long time. He's been very helpful in the past. At this time, you know, it's kind of a difficult thing the way we're doing this, but do I hear a motion for one particular company versus the other at this point?
Have we vetted any of these? I guess you don't have to vet them because they gave you all this information, but reached out to anyone that has used them before, maybe any other utility districts that have used any of them?
Andrew?
No, we simply looked at the packets that they provided and were going off of the qualifications and previous jobs that they included in the packet.
Sure.
Do you guys want to push this decision back to allow a little more research to the next meeting? Would that be a little bit better at this point? We just don't want to wait too long before we choose this grants that are coming up are going to hopefully be opened up sometime September, October, and we want to be phased and ready to go. So do you want to push it back to gain a little bit more information?
I can go what y'all are comfortable with. I mean, it's not a cost to us, and all three of them, I guess, do good work. I'm kind of whittled down to two, but.
Tyson, did you have something there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of agree with what Kelly was saying there initially, that, you know, Andrew, you know, and Joe, I think it's you probably have the best, you know, obviously we've reviewed as best we could, you know, the information that we're given our packets, et cetera. But I think that maybe, hopefully Andrew might have some keen insight or yourself, some keen insight on this. You know, what I'm seeing is pretty, I can't make a decision off of what I've got in my board packet. Let's put it that way, but trust Andrew's input.
Andrew, do you have a recommendation?
From a cost perspective, I'll be a little bit, I'm a Lord of the Rings buff, so I'm going to quote something here. Don't go to the elves for advice because they'll tell you both yes and no. That's about where I'm at right now. So Plexos, from a cost perspective, the break point there at $50 million, the administrative costs that they have on those larger values does represent a not insignificant cost savings in comparison to Ardura. But again, with Ardura being close to home, having some history there, it's honestly either one of those two that I think would be the best. But again, I go back to my previous statement. We're not going to get a bad deal out of the bunch. I think all of them are committed to getting this done.
And can you tell us real quick what trailer worked with the mud before with the water tower, right?
Yeah. That was prior to me coming on, so I don't recall.
It was the motor controls up on the mezzanine.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that was being handled. You know, that whole water tower is, most of y'all remember, drug on for 5 years. It was such a long and drawn out process that it just became very frustrating. Not complaining or saying anything about the work. It was just the length of the time. I think some of that had to do with the way the funds with the GLO were being administered. I mean, we were having to go through the county and having to go through that. It just wasn't a pretty deal. Now these grants will be directly between GLO and the MUD with Fed money. I would expect it to be a much, much smoother process than before. I guess at this point, do you want to roll it back to next month at the latest, and we'll do a couple of quick checks, and then Andrew will make a recommendation at that point.
Yes.
I'm game on that.
Yes.
All right, we're going to table it. All right, Andrew, we're going on to your part there, your report.
All right, making a note here to follow up on that. So basically, again, just running through here some of the highlights, working with the CDBG MIT program as discussed. We did have those three proposals that we'll do some additional research and vetting on before providing a formal recommendation to the board at our next meeting. I'll also do some additional research with the GLO just to verify they've continued shifting the date for application as a result of COVID. and just the fine tuning on the different details they're having to do. So definitely not going to miss our window, but make sure that we're doing our best there. Gulf Coast Water Authority, I had noted no significant updates this month. Just over this past weekend, we did receive notice from them and TxDOT that the widening of 146 has actually expanded. Initially was terminating around Kima near the Walmart, but it's actually going to be running down all the way to the bridge near 517 and 146. And so there could be some service interruptions, at which point we'd need to utilize our well for backup. But I got into the communication chain of everything that's going on there, so we'll be well ahead of any situations there, so we'll be able to continue service. As mentioned earlier, our accountability is much improved as a result of those repairs. We have a pressure regulating valve at the base of our tower, which maintains the pressure in the system, and it is reflected in our MCC as a certain percentage of being open. And when it's 18 to 19% open, usually that means there's something going on in the system because we're having to send out more water than we usually would. But after the repairs were done and the meter calibration and several other things, we've actually seen it down as low as 14% open, which lets us know, again, those repairs we've done in the field are really impacting our accountability. And like I said, bringing us to where we're only 3% unaccountable now. So that's a wonderful thing to take note of. We're continuing to work with the financial advisor on that refunding bond. Tomorrow we are expecting to get pricing on that, and with Tyson Curry as the pricing officer, he's the one that will be notified, and we're still expecting to receive over $500,000 in savings across the life of the bond. The rates have been volatile, but we're still going to be getting a good price there, so once that's in place, we'll be pulling the trigger. I did receive the Volunteer Fire Department's monthly report. I put it in my files, and that's good to go. Regarding district services, Texas Pride actually had some really good, we had people calling us saying that they were doing such a good job. So we still have some complaints as things happen, but that we haven't really noticed a substantial increase in comparison to Decker, but it was very surprising to get people calling with the intent of, hey, they're doing a phenomenal job. So definitely want to give them a shout out there. We met with a third-party consultant to evaluate our operations from a financial, managerial, and technical perspective. This individual has been doing these kind of analyses for the past 20-plus years for the TCEQ and the Texas Water Development Board. And so he met with us last week and walked through a pretty extensive survey of our operations and our technical expertise. And he got that report to me. It was included in your packets from Superior Management. And executive summary showed that, you know, we had a 92%. And a lot of the things that he said kept us from 100 were really more recommendations and sort of best business practices that a lot of larger utilities implement, but are not regulatory requirements. He did note a formal written preventative maintenance program would be a benefit. And so I'm going to be working with Mr. Keller on developing that. We've been doing ad hoc preventative maintenance, but having a formal written plan is obviously a benefit there. So he said, other than that, everything was good to go. Met with several residents regarding the homestead exemption that was discussed at last month's meeting, sort of explained it to them, who they needed to contact and how to procure those exemptions for homestead and for over 65. Public Information Act requests, we had 8 that we completed this month representing over 1,200 documents. 2 of them are pending in-person review. We have 12 outstanding requests representing several hundred documents. We're continuing to work on these as we have opportunity while maintaining day-to-day operations. At the request of Mr. Kennedy, he mentioned it a little earlier, but just wanted to make note of it again. We did do a comprehensive audit of the open records requests we have completed so far. Looking at, we've got nearly 2,000 documents that were produced representing about 5,000 pages of records, 48 hours of administrative labor, and that's all within the past year and a half. And that represents a exponential increase over historical information requests, but we've been plugging away at it and getting it done. So, and then the last thing here, TAP request, we had 31 that were requested, 12 were okay with existing infrastructure, 19 were unavailable and quoted for improvements. I've also been expressing to anyone that comes into our office looking for TAPs if we do not have capacity, I have a running list of where our infrastructure could use improvements in order to facilitate those additional TAPs. And one of the key projects we're hoping with the reallocation of those funds is going to be improving those 2-inch lines to 6-inch lines with hydrants. And that's going to open up a lot of development opportunity for people that either haven't been able to develop existing land or have been looking at purchasing land and have walked away because there haven't been utility capacity. But that's a exciting thing for on the horizon as far as development goes for the future. And that sums up my report.
Hey, Andrew, this is Joe.
Yes, sir.
Did you say that we had something in there from our consultant that was looking at our processes and all in our packet? Because I didn't see anything.
It should have been included. I have been having a rash of attachments not going through, so I'll forward that to the board for review. It's not an action item, but it was a good pulse on where we were at, so I apologize if that didn't get in there.
No, that probably was my mistake. You know, I probably missed the attachment. I apologize.
Okay, also, for those of those that did not get it, and you might have mentioned it, Andrew, and Paul Joseph, repeating, heavy trash has been canceled on the 31st of July and 1st of August due to COVID. There have been notices sent out. It's on the website, yeah, but just mention it again for everyone that would be concerned. You might pass that around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we did posting on Facebook, posting on Nextdoor, shared it to local community groups, and then also put in a Blackboard. So anyone who has their emergency contact information in our system, which is updated monthly, would have received an email as well as phone call. Again, if the contact information is correct on our account. So.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Andrew? Okay, if not, we're down to the latter part of the agenda. Anyone with any open items that we didn't discuss that aren't action items, any of the directors at this point? And we are going to have to go into executive session. So.
No.
Okay. No one else?
No.
No, sir.
Nope.
Okay. All right, Andrew, you're going to need to take us in executive session, please.
All right, give me 1 second here, and I'll be putting the individuals not on the board into the waiting room, and we'll bring you back once the executive is complete. So we'll go ahead and go through the list here. All right, we have run through, got it. All right, I'm going to pause and I'm resuming recording. And we have resumed recording. We have brought everyone in out of the waiting room that was there. Joe, meeting is yours.
All right, guys, thanks everyone. Hopefully you're staying safe. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I shall move. It's Tyson.
Second. This
all right. Janice, do you get all that? I'm assuming you did. All right. It's been moved and second to adjourn.
Oh, sorry. I did.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.
Thank you all. Stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.